Hello, I'm Carol in Viroqua, Wisconsin.
And I'm Susan. Today I'm talking with you from Tucson, Arizona, a city of about 1 million residents with dark sky ordinances. Welcome to Kickapoo Nightlife, a news magazine where we'll explore the half of our world between sunset and sunrise. We'll learn why natural dark nights are essential to health and normal functioning for all life, including humans, and what we can do about light pollution, and we'll have news on exciting astronomy events you can enjoy. Listen for tips on how you can make the sky above where you live naturally dark and friendly to all life with safe, effective lighting that's also smart lighting. We'll have information on what's going on in the fields and forests around us, and we'll answer listener questions. Dark skies are worth celebrating and worth keeping. So today's program highlights the International Dark Sky Week. That's April 21st to 28th, when people all over the world will be learning about the benefits of a naturally dark night sky and what we can do to stop light pollution. Stay tuned to WDRT 91.9 FM. We'll light your way into the future.
Today's program is sponsored by the Wisconsin Wildlife Union, Kickapoo Valley Local Number 1, a union representing all Wisconsin wildlife in the Kickapoo Valley, honored to be fighting hard for its members.
And by Arcturus, one of the brightest stars, guiding human journeys since our first voyages.
Today's quiz question is, what color light does 27,000 Kelvin or less help to control? Stay tuned. We give you the answer at the end of the program.
In today's segment of Did You Know?, we're going to explore the IDA, the International Dark Sky Association.
The International Dark Sky Association is a nonprofit organization headquartered in Tucson, Arizona, and incorporated in 1988. Founded by David Crawford, a professional astronomer, and Tim Hunter, a physician and amateur astronomer, the mission of the association is to preserve and protect the nighttime environment and our heritage of dark skies through quality outdoor lighting. It is the first and currently the largest organization in the dark sky movement.
The International Dark Sky Association has more than 2,000 volunteer advocates around the world working to protect the night sky, using education, advocacy, retrofits, community science, and more. With local points of contact in more than 30 countries and greater than 70 chapters around the world, they're the local organizing centers for the Dark Sky Campaign. The IDA accomplishes its goals through partnerships with universities and nonprofits, community groups, businesses, and interested individuals like us.
The International Dark Sky Association certifies and helps to conserve starry sky parks, communities that work to protect natural night skies, and other places of value for natural dark nights around the world. It works with communities and professionals to establish codes and statutes that reduce light pollution. The association certifies lighting products, designs, and installations that reduce light pollution and informs the public how excessive artificial light can harm humans, wildlife, and our climate.
The International Dark Sky Association is the recognized global authority on light pollution. It empowers a global movement to protect the night sky. Check out their information at darksky.org.
Susan, apparently we have listeners from the Wisconsin Wildlife Union who have decided not to be outdone by our cosmic comic, Bart, who sent in some jokes that we read on last month's show. Canada Goose union member, 1953, decided to give it a gander and sent us a few jokes his flock hopes won't lay an egg. Needless to say, we are willing to fly with it.
Okay. It seems like the wildlife might have a few jokes on us.
Well, here we go. What do you call humans who need a bright light to see at night?
Oh, let's see. From the goose's point of view, I don't know. What do you call them?
Underachievers.
Oh, well, from their point of view, maybe.
Well, I kind of like
okay,
that one,
well,
you know.
Here's another one.
Okay.
What do you call a spotlight?
Bright?
Well, it certainly is that. From the bug's point of view, it's fatal attraction.
Oh, jeez. I wonder how they came up with these. Okay. What are a human's first words?
Boy, we sure say a lot. I don't know what our first one would be. What is it?
Me first.
Yeah.
Ooh, I guess that's a commentary.
Yeah. What does the computer forecast for humans? Well, that's not really from an animal's point of view, but they're not human. What does the computer forecast for humans?
Clouds. Huh? Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. Computer
got
clouds.
It. Yay. Okay. Where do
you... Another one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, one more, I think, here. And I think we've probably had enough. Where do humans go when it storms?
I'm going to have to say I don't know.
Hell if we know.
Oh. That's maybe the best one.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, Canada Goose, union member number 1953, thanks for the laughs. Stay listening and honk as you fly by.
Oh, well, that was unusual, wasn't it? All right, Carol, we have a question from a listener, Bill in Viroqua. He says, I've been following your podcast and have been learning some new things. I do have a question I think you may have an answer for. I was out walking my dog the other night on Rock Avenue, this is in Viroqua, and noticed that on the west side of the street near the library, there are two streetlights that were unique from the other street lamps. One appeared to have a new lamp fixture and a warm colored light, and the other appeared to look like the same as the other light fixtures, but it had a warm colored light too. The light was a soft yellow red hue, which was pleasing, and it didn't feel harsh and glaring. Do you know what the story is about these lights?
Glad you noticed the two street lights on Rock Avenue, Bill. The city of Viroqua is doing a trial of dark sky sensitive street lighting. You are right. One is actually a new fixture with a 2700 Kelvin LED bulb. This fixture has a large cap and a small variation in style from the standard streetlight on that street. The other streetlight has the standard fixture but is retrofitted with a 2700 Kelvin LED bulb. The trial is to test the public's response and preference and to evaluate them for any visibility issues. I really prefer them over the bright lights of the other streetlights currently used in our community. Please let your city representative or the Director of Public Works, Sarah Granger, know your thoughts and preferences. Thanks to the City of Viroqua for giving the citizens an opportunity to see, experience, and appreciate dark sky lighting. We hope everyone takes a night walk down Rock Avenue to check out the lights and to send a favorable vote to the city.
Carol, do you know how long those lights, how long the city is going to give people to experience those lights before they make a decision on anything?
No, there has been no timeline given.
Okay.
And
it's,
so
they're just going to be there for a while.
They're going to be there for a while. They really are. It's pretty cool, especially the new one. I really like it really a lot.
Okay, great. I'm going to check it out as soon as I can. All right. Listen up, everyone. Now, Carol and I are issuing a challenge to you. In recognition of Dark Sky Week, we challenge you to change the current LED bulb in just one of your outdoor light fixtures to 2200 Kelvin to a 2700 Kelvin bulb, somewhere in that range. Just put one in and try it. Together, we can make a difference one light at a time.
Susan, the Kickapoo Valley Dark Sky Initiative has been working hard on its mission to prevent light pollution, and it's been enhancing the night sky viewing experience for everyone. We are not alone in our efforts. There are other dedicated groups in Wisconsin which are also working towards this goal, and some that are even seeking certification as International Dark Sky Association Dark Sky Places or Parks. It may be interesting for our listeners to hear about dark sky efforts in other places as well as the requirements for receiving a dark sky designation.
Yeah, this certification process through International Dark Skies is extensive. Many of our listeners may not be aware of how close the Kickapoo Valley became to receiving this recognition. It would have been in 2024. We've always had one of the darkest skies in the Midwest, but we're losing the stars and the night sky. This is an incalculable loss that's really hard to describe how big a loss it is. The Dark Sky Park process, which we took for granted, we took our dark skies for granted. The Dark Sky process took many years to go through the application, and now we've lost it. We don't have the dark enough skies to be certified as a park. And people are gradually becoming aware of how important that is.
It is important. We gained so much from having dark skies, including improved health. But also, there's other issues related to the climate, such as the importance of dark skies and controlling CO2 levels in our environment.
Can you say something about how that works? Is that because of the amount of energy we use to make all that wasted light?
Yes, it is. It has a direct correlation with the number of lights that are being utilized and the effects of CO2 in our climate. And as we all know, CO2 has such a big impact on climate issues and the warming of our climate. When we have the dark skies, it has an opportunity for CO2 to be utilized. We need CO2, but what's too much is no good. And so at night, it gives the environment an opportunity to utilize CO2, as well as diminishing the amount of CO2 that is being produced because the lights are off. And people are lying low. There's less driving at night. There's less activity at night. And so that's just an important factor for the well-being of our planet.
You know, a lot of people now, too, are saying, well, I've maybe spent my whole life living in an urban area under light pollution, and I don't really miss the stars because I've never seen them. So they don't know what they've lost, but I think one of the things maybe to emphasize here is that may be a way that many people are going to live, but the effects on your health and the biology of pretty much every living thing we've looked at now is negatively affected by light pollution at night. So even if you don't go see the stars, your health overall over time is affected negatively by light pollution.
It is. And I think once those individuals in urban areas who really haven't had a good look at the night sky, once they would change their attitude. They would be much more interested in becoming active in night sky preservation and diminishing light pollution. Because once you see those stars and begin to appreciate the beauty of them, you just can't look back.
Well, our night sky and the stars are part of life on Earth through all of history. And I have a perfect little note for this right now, because last night I spent the night on Mount Lemmon, which is above Tucson, in the observatories up there looking through their telescopes. And at 9,000 feet over above the city, the stars were like I remember them not that long ago where we live. And I tell you, there were 25 people in this group, and they were just looking at the sky without looking through the telescope. And the response that people had, who they just drove up the mountain, they weren't thinking one way or another about how they would feel. They didn't have a prior experience. And they looked up and they were just going, oh, wow, it's amazing. You know, seeing a really starry sky gives humans that effect. So we need to pay attention about what's there, because there's something in us that really needs and wants that beautiful night sky.
There certainly is, Susan. This has been just a great chat, and I'm a little bit envious that you got to go up to Mount Lemmon and I didn't. Someday,
well,
I'm going.
I'm going to have stories about that, so you'll get to hear all about it later.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Looking forward to having you back.
Well, you are listening to WDRT 91.9 FM in Viroqua, Wisconsin.
A word from our sponsor, the Wisconsin Wildlife Union Kickapoo Valley Local Number 1, Atticus O. Finch, the official representative of the union's Human Environmental Affairs Department, will read a statement on behalf of the union membership about the importance of dark skies. Atticus?
Thank you, Carol. Greetings, humans. Atticus Goldfinch here, representing the Wisconsin Wildlife Union Kickapoo Valley Local Number 1. On behalf of the union, I would like to thank WDRT 91.9 FM for this opportunity to address my human friends. Recently, the union membership convened a summit to discuss the state of our relationship with our human neighbors. Concerns were raised about what has appeared to be some stresses in our age-old wildlife-human alliance. Over the years, we have worked hard to forge a positive working relationship with humans, and we are committed to continuing our efforts to maintain and revitalize this relationship. However, the union membership has brought to the attention of the union's executive board some significant issues that are seriously impacting their lives and the lives of their families, issues that are directly the result of human behavior. One of the most important concerns has been the gradual loss of the dark night sky due to increasing light pollution. You may wonder how this would be an issue for your wildlife friends. Well, let me explain. Light pollution seriously affects us wild things, since the changing cycles of light and dark often act as signals for when to eat, to sleep, to hunt, to migrate, or even to reproduce. Changes to these signals can alter and interfere with the timing of these necessary biological activities. Artificial light at night also disrupts nocturnal pollination networks, causing negative consequences for the reproductive success of plants. One of our studies of artificially illuminated plant pollinator communities, nocturnal visits of pollinators to plants fell by 62% compared to the naturally dark areas. Furthermore, the loss of dark night skies affects the life cycle of plants and can prevent them from growing flowers and reproducing, which then harms the cycle of pollinators, our bees, butterflies, moths, flies, wasps, birds, and bats, and ultimately, of course, humans. According to the United States Department of Agriculture, 1/3 of human food requires a healthy population of pollinators. Another problem, most songbirds migrate at night, and too much light disrupts their circadian rhythms and can disorient them during migration. Bright lights on the side at night on large buildings, for example, attract birds in the same way that bright porch lights attract moths, which can result in the same fate, numerous fatal collisions. What losses our birds have suffered. Our amphibian union members are another important part of forest and aquatic systems. Because they are sensitive to environmental changes, they serve as an indicator species of the status of an ecosystem's health. Unfortunately, environmental stressors have caused amphibian populations to decline around the world, and light pollution may play a big part in the decline by changing both foraging and breeding habitats of nocturnal amphibians. So sad for our amphibian friends longing for a family. Hear us out, humans. We want to work with you, but must respectfully ask that you act now to lessen light pollution, a scourge to us wildlife. Remember, what affects us will soon affect you. What we are asking you to do will not change the quality of your life, and may in fact increase the quality and the quantity of your life. Here are four simple steps we ask of you. Number one, install outdoor light fixtures that have caps on the top that direct the light down towards the ground where you need it, not up into the sky where you don't. Number two, choose LED light bulbs that are rated at 2700 Kelvin or less for your outdoor lighting. Trust us, you'll like it. Number three, place outdoor lights on timers or motion detectors so you are saving both electricity and the dark sky. Number four, turn off all lights when you are not using them. You'll save electricity and hopefully diminish the need for highline wires installed across our homelands and sensitive ecosystems. In closing, I will say sincerely that we do love you humans, and we hope you love us too. Please take action now before it is too late. Your lives and our lives are dependent on it. Save the night, save our lives, enjoy the stars again. On behalf of the Wisconsin Wildlife Union Kickapoo Valley Local Number 1, this is Atticus Goldfinch thanking you for your kind attention.
Thank you, Atticus. Listeners, the wildlife have clearly taken a stand and are asking us, even pleading with us. We need to clean up our act. It's time for our April Nightlife calendar of event, brought to you by our sponsor, Arcturus, a spring bright star.
The Wisconsin Dark Sky Association monthly meeting will be held the third Wednesday of April, April 16th, as a Zoom meeting at 6:30 p.m. Go to wisconsin@darksky.org for the link. International Dark Sky Week is held annually during the week of the new dark moon in April. This year, Dark Sky Week is April 21 to 28. We'll be talking about this later in the program. Informal frog walks begin in March and continue in April on Tuesday evenings. Meet at sunset at the South Gate on the old Highway 131 trail at the Kickapoo Valley Reserve. Join frog aficionados to enjoy and monitor the frogs as they appear through the spring and early summer. On the second Tuesday of the month, April 8th, the night naturalists return with evening into night, starry sky, magic woodland walks. Beginning at twilight after the informal frog walk, the night naturalists help bring the magic and beauty of our natural dark skies and nights alive. With the help of fireflies, stars, bats, and your curiosity, join the frog walk, then continue into the evening on the old 131 trail.
The phenology report for April. House wrens are beginning to arrive. Hello, little birds. The spring peepers are singing. Eastern and copes, gray frogs are calling. Gray catbirds have arrived, teasing us with their calls. Bellwort, Jacob's ladder, and marsh marigolds are blooming. Eaglets are hatching, keeping doting parents busy with demands for food. Coyotes and minks are birthing pups. Spring beauties are blooming, doting, dotting the forest floors. Eastern screech owls can be heard through the night. White-tailed deer bucks are growing antlers. Little brown bats begin arriving to help us control mosquitoes. Welcome, purple martins, ruby-throated hummingbirds, and indigo buntings. Remember to put out grape jelly and orange halves for orioles. Ah, the sweet smell of spring has arrived. And now a word from our sponsor, Arcturus, one of the brightest stars in the sky.
Hello, from 36.7 light years away from Earth. You may think that's a long way to send a message, but listen to my story. I'm one of the three brightest stars in your night sky. I've even been seen in daylight, I'm so bright. Your son and I are a similar age, but I've grown into a red giant. You can see me from northern and southern hemispheres. Humans have used my bright light to navigate across Earth's great oceans for thousands of years, and my name is known by people in every part of your Earth. I'm as close to Earth as I will ever be, and in the spring I'm high overhead, yet my light is dimming for you. My bright light that every person on Earth enjoyed and many depended on is being obscured by artificial light. My neighbors, Sirius, Canopus, Vega, and Spica, will fade from your night skies as I will. Think of our long friendship and what we bring to your world of beauty and how we've aided your journeys. You can keep us with you and with your children as they explore your world by bringing back your natural dark night skies. All my star neighbors have faded, but they will return with me to bring the wonder and beauty back to the half of Earth's day that's night. We're hoping to share our gifts and work with humanity in new ways in the future. So join our friends and your neighbors at Kickapoo Valley Dark Sky Initiative, as well as Starry Skies North and darksky.org to regain your share of our starshine. Now for the answer to today's quiz question. What color light does 2700 Kelvin or less help to control?
If you guessed blue light, you're correct. Blue light is part of the visible light spectrum, what the human eye can see, vibrating within the 380 to 500 nanometer range. It has the shortest wavelength and the highest energy. Since our eyes are not good at blocking blue light, nearly all visible blue light passes through the front of the eye, the cornea, and lens. It then reaches the retina, the cells that convert light from the brain to process into images. Not all colors of light have the same effect, but blue wavelengths are beneficial during daylight hours because they boost attention, reaction times, and mood, but are disruptive at night. Although it is helpful to us during the day, blue light at night can affect your sleep and potentially be a factor in the cause of disease from other exposures.
Until the advent of artificial lighting, the sun was the major source of light, and people spent their evenings in darkness. Now in much of the world, evenings are illuminated, but we're paying a price for basking in that light. At night, blue light throws the body's biological clock, the circadian rhythm, out of whack. Research shows that it may contribute to the causation of cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and other diseases. At night, this light is not natural, and it comes from artificial sources such as fluorescent lights, LED, TVs, computer monitors, outdoor floodlights, tablet screens, and many other sources.
It's important to remember that Kelvin is a scale represented by the letter K that is a unit of measurement used to describe color temperature of light sources. It quantifies the color of light emitted by a source ranging from warm reddish hues to cool blue hues on a scale from 1,000 to 10,000 degrees Kelvin. Remember, choosing 2,700 Kelvin LED or less helps to reduce the amount of light exposure at night and improves the starry sky viewing. Now, a reminder from my mom and dad. How many times do we have to tell you, turn off the lights when you're not using them? I get it, and I do it. Remember the wise words from my parents. Turn off the lights when they're not needed. Save electricity. Save the dark sky. Save our planet.
Well, Carol, we've come to the end of our April program. Treat yourself by going out and viewing the night sky.
And also remember to choose your outdoor lights carefully.
Dark skies are important to the health of all living beings. I'm Susan.
And I'm Carol. Thanks for joining us. And remember to celebrate the Night Dark Sky Week, April 21 through 28th.
Go outside and look at the stars.